You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be having Bible study tonight. There's a family night as well. We got a kids class that meets and an adult class that meets. We would love to have you come and be a part. Right now, we are studying the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. And the one thing that you need to remember about the book of Revelation is that God is on the throne. So there's a lot of people that like to focus on the bowls and the seals and the judgments and all of the different things. But whenever you read the book of Revelation, remember that it is about revealing Jesus to us, and that at the worst point in time in humanity's history, when the wrath of God is being poured out, it is God on the throne. It is God setting the stage for the atmosphere of perfection and holiness that he is striving to bring about. Holiness is not ugly. It's the beauty of holiness. And so we'll probably touch more on that in weeks to come here. But I want to take you today to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 21. And it says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power." Okay, so read it again, since it's such a long verse. "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power." One of my favorite worship choruses is, it goes back decades. It simply says, "I exalt thee. I exalt thee." And that means that he is lifted up. He is elevated to the highest place. He's not in a place where we are trying to drag him down or put him down, but instead he is elevated. Now, he already occupies the highest place in all that exists. So that's not what we are doing. He didn't need us to put him on the throne. He doesn't need our permission to occupy the throne. But we can, as a group of people, exalt him higher and higher in our own lives. So because of Jesus, there are things that were once important when people were trapped in sin, that those things that were life controlling now have no influence whatsoever. Conversely, where God was of little importance to people who were not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the more we walk with him, the more we want to elevate his voice, his word, his presence, his people, his influence in our life. And so David, as he writes this particular psalm, he says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength." And that word means strength or might. And I can tell you this, that there is not a metric that is capable of accurately measuring the strength, the power, or the might of God, because he is the omnipotent one. He's all that, I mean, he is all powerful. It's literally what it means. And so when I am praying for people and they may describe themselves as being tired or being weak, one of the things that I pray is that God's omnipotence will show up on their behalf. That his power would come and be more than adequate, even in our weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so David here looks at this and he says, "The God that I serve is not a weak God, but he is a powerful God. He is a strong God. And I want him elevated in his strength." He goes on and he says the latter part of verse number 13, Psalm 21, "We will sing and praise your power." We will sing and praise your power. I don't know about you, but most of the time when people want to praise God, they praise him for something good that has been done. Something that has happened. But here, David, who at this point in his life has probably many battles still left to face, he says, "God, I want to sing and I want to praise your power, because there is no one that is going to be more powerful than you." David was one who went to the battle lines and saw that Goliath was an inferior foe compared to the capabilities of God. He was the one who looked at a lion and a bear that on separate occasions were trying to steal some of the flock that he was in charge of, and said, "God's going to hand you over into my hand." That was what set him up for realizing that it wasn't about the armor of Saul, but it was about the God of Israel. And so I watched a television series years ago. It was a horrible depiction of David battling Goliath, and how in that, you know, hyper dramatization, and it wasn't done by Christians. You know, David is wounded and Goliath is coming towards him, and all of a sudden there's just this, you know, reversal of fortunes in a very short span of time, and all of a sudden Goliath gets knocked down, even though David was just about to get to. I want you to know that's not the biblical account of that at all. The biblical account was that David engaged the battle, engaged the giant, and he brought just a different skill set to the battle that had to do with God's strength, not his. So I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what label of potency your enemy has had ascribed to it. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial situation. But before you determine that the problem is bigger than what God can handle, I want you to make sure that you adjust your perception of the strength and the might and the power of God to make sure that you're seeing God in His omnipotence. The children of Israel, when they came back, the spies came back from spying out the land that God had told them that He was going to bring them into. I mean, after all, He had just brought them out from underneath the domination of the greatest military force on the planet at that time. And they, by the way, he was able to sustain a few million people in a barren landscape where animals barely are able to thrive, very few animals. And they get to the promised land and they go in and they says, it is a land that devours its inhabitants. There's giants in the land. And by the way, there's terrible inconsistencies in their declaration. It's a land that devours their inhabitants, but all the people that live there are giants and live in fortified cities. Those spies came back with an enhanced view of how big their problems were. And it said, we looked like grasshoppers in our eyes compared to them, and they perceived us in the same manner. And, you know, 40 years goes by before they do enter the promised land, and they send two spies this time instead of 12. And those two spies encounter a lady by the name of Rahab. Rahab did not have a profession you would want your daughter to have. But yet she knew about the children. Everybody in Jericho knew about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And if I can put it in very plain language, when she finds out who the spies are, she basically says this, where have you been? We have been living in fear of you coming in. We know what God said. We know that He is capable of doing what He said. Where have you been for the past four decades? I think it's interesting to know that many times the enemy understands the capabilities of God better than the children of God. Sometimes we're slow to believe and slow to act. And today I want to recalibrate our spiritual lenses so that we see that if there is economic might, that it cannot compare to the economic omnipotence of God. After all, God does pave His streets with translucent gold. One of my favorite stories coming out of cosmology, cosmology, is that people who study the universe say they found a planet that rains diamonds. That would motivate some people to get out there and find those diamonds because, you know, they're considered relatively rare. I've had people say that that they're not nearly as rare as what they're made out to be. But, you know, if you find a planet that rains diamonds, that suddenly changes the value of them. And you're probably going to need to have a more reinforced umbrella as well. So God has the power to change an economy. He's shown that multiple times in his word. He can take the rich and make them poor. And he can take the poor and make them rich. You may be facing a physical situation, and the doctors may have labeled that a name that you don't want to repeat and no one wants to hear. But I can tell you this. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our healer. And sickness and death do not get the final word when it comes to God's people. God gets that word. And we have the promise that our eternity looks healthy, holy, and happy in the presence of God. So, make sure that you praise God, not just for what he's done or what he's doing, but praise him because he has the power to do more than we can ask or think or imagine. There's a few things that I want to touch on here in Psalm 22. We've already gone through Psalm 22, verse by verse, but Psalm 22 and verse number 22 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. You and I are not called to be undercover Christians. We are called to be people of praise, people of faith, people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be willing to make that known. One of the great things about church is if you come to church and you have a testimony to share, you're not going to find people who are hostile to that in church. Instead, you are going to find a body of believers that is going to take your testimony and it's going to enhance their faith, and they're going to celebrate with you. The Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And so if you come in and share a testimony, I will probably share that testimony maybe even more than you do. I love to share people's testimonies and bring praise to God. It also says here in verse number 23, that we praise him because we fear him. It's not we're not in terror of him. It is a reverential awe. We praise him because he is flawless and perfect on the throne. We praise him because he loves us. He's the lover of our souls. We praise him because he was good before problems came our way. We praise him because he's good even when problems come our way, and he will still be good after the problems have gone away. We praise him because he's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world from before the foundations of the world. He alone is qualified to sit upon the throne. Several weeks ago, I was teaching on Wednesday night. I went through Revelation chapter 4, where it is described that all creation praises God, the Father, who sits upon the throne. And in chapter 5, that praise is also declared to the Lamb that was slain. That's Jesus. That's our Redeemer. There are songs that only humanity can sing. Only creation can sing. Angels don't have that experience with Jesus, our Redeemer, but we can praise him because he is our Redeemer. That no matter how strong the hold of sin was in our life, we can still look to the word of God and say, because Jesus is my Redeemer, he came and set me free. redeemed my life from the pit. And I can say I used to be bound by sin, but Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord that he is our Redeemer. He is the one who has made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So praise the Lord for that. If you drop on down, you will see in verse number 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Matthew 6:33, several years ago, I was praying about the direction. What did God want me to share from the Refresh Radio program here? And the first thing that God spoke was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew 6:33. From there, it became about the Beatitudes and the entire Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so we went through all of those things. Here's what I can tell you. Verse number 26 of Psalm 22 says, those who seek him will praise the Lord. So if we are going to be seeking God, we have to be people who praise the Lord. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. We need to seek him not just because of what he can do for us, but because he is the self-existent one, the one who sits upon the throne, the one who is never going to be deposed, whose dynasty will never end. His throne will endure to forever and ever. He is praiseworthy. So the more that we seek him, the more praiseworthy we are going to find him to be. That's a tremendous thing. You know, because the world we live in tends to be exactly the opposite. And that is, the more that you get to know someone, the more flaws you discover about them. By the way, I will tell you this. It's not hard to find people's flaws. Sometimes people will do a better job of trying to conceal them than others do, but it's not hard to find flaws. On the same hand, when it comes to God, it's not hard to find a reason to praise him. If you start looking, you're going to start finding a reason to praise him. So a lot of time, what happens with relationships in modern times is, you know, people put on their masks, they put on their best appearance, they put on their best behavior. They really try and conceal anything that would be unflattering. But sooner or later, the truth comes out. And you're going to find out that they have flaws. I had a pastor, he passed away here a few weeks ago. And he had told me at one point in time, he said, when you're doing a funeral, don't preach as if the people were perfect, because their family members knew them better than you did. But don't preach them as being in a hopeless situation, because you also never know what God has done in the secrecy of their life. I mean, they could be at death's door. There was a thief hanging on a cross, and he became the first person to benefit from the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Okay, so the more time you spend around people, the more flaws you're going to find about them. But the more time you spend seeking God, the more praiseworthy you're going to find him. If you're going to seek him, you better start learning how to praise him. Maybe you just praise him for his power. Maybe you praise him for his strength. Maybe you praise him for his wisdom, or praise him for his holiness. There's a lot of things that we're going to touch on that are great reasons to praise him. But the thing is, if you're claiming to be seeking him, you're going to become more proficient as the days go by of praising him, because everything you're going to find out about God is praiseworthy. He is worthy to be praised, no matter what I feel like. So why do we have praise when we come to church? We praise him because he's worthy, but we're also praising him because we're looking for him. We're looking for his presence. We're looking for what he's doing in the situation. We are coming to hear what God has to say. We praise him because we're seeking his presence. Our theme at Merit Assembly of God this year is treasure his presence. A lot of times we keep kicking the can down the road in a lot of areas of life, and many times people do that spiritually. But I'm not looking for God's presence to be known in the fewest number of days that I can get by with. I'm wanting to see how many of my days can be used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to bring glory and honor and praise to him. I want to seek him. I want to find him. If you know, don't forget this. In all of the seeking, don't forget the finding. The finding is where the fun is. And so I can tell you, when you seek him, you're going to praise him. And when you praise him, he's going to show up. He's going to let himself be found. God bless you. You have a great day. Hopefully we'll see you at church tonight. If not, we will see you here on the radio, on the radio program. Have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Keep your eyes.